I loved Isaac's story because it reflects the reality that there is this river. And today we're going to talk about the river. There is a river. This is what the psalm says, Psalm 46. It's a well-known psalm to us. You know, God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. It talks about God being the place where we can find security, where we can find provision. It talks about the reality that the world is going to be in turmoil, and we're certainly seeing that happen. I think everybody is conscious that the increasing measure of turmoil in the world is growing. Well, we haven't quite got to the point that the psalm says, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble in its swelling. Maybe some people who've experienced earthquakes have a sense of that happening. But this psalm is directing our attention to a source of provision in the midst of trouble, in the midst of incredible difficulty. And it goes on to say in verse 4, there is a river. There is a river. Now, as we start this message, I want to get you to watch a little video. Because you need a picture of a river in your mind. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Do you know there's something absolutely wonderful about rivers? Ever since I was a child, I was captured by, in my thinking and my drawn like a magnet to rivers. And they bring water from distant places, from up in the mountains, and they bring them down. And when you come across a fresh, a clear stream of water, it's a wonder. There's life flowing in a river. And I used to find myself absolutely fascinated by this as a child. I used to spend hours walking up and down rivers. Whenever I found a river, I'd love to be there. And my wife, you can ask Kerry afterwards, if we're ever travelling in a car and we're going over a bridge, over a river that's clear water, you know, the husband will slow down, even perhaps stop and get out and have a look. There might be a trout down there. There might be a fish in the river. Because rivers speak of life. And if you ever get the opportunity to get into a rural setting and get up really early in the morning, get up before the sun rises and go down to a river like this, in a very isolated place, and just see what happens. Animals come out, birds come out. All around the river, there's life, there's vitality. You can sit there for an hour or two and just think, wow. There's my friend Lawrence Rutherford at the back. You love rivers, Mr. Rutherford. He loves fishing. There's life in rivers. And the water that flows draws animals, contains life in it itself. And as a little child, I remember catching all sorts of little fish and little tadpoles and frogs and all sorts of things by rivers, because there's water and there's life there. And this picture of a river is something God wants you to have in your mind, because the Bible tells us that there's another river. And this river is not a physical river This is a river of the Spirit of God. And this river makes glad the dwelling place of God. Now, if you're a Christian, if you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you actually have in you the Holy Spirit, the dwelling place of God. But you actually need a river, not just the dwelling place of God. You see, it says here, there is a river that makes, whose streams make glad the dwelling place, the city of God. And so you and I need access to this river. Well, this is so important. You know, when Isaac went over there to Perth, he had in his heart the desire to go. Who put that there? The Holy Spirit. And then when we're meeting as a mission committee and we hear Isaac wants to go and we know APWM doesn't have the resources to quite send him there, and someone feels moved in their heart, we should send him. This is part of the river that is flowing. And this river is fulfilling, what was it? 72 people, somebody said. And Isaac was number 72, wasn't he? You know, he was one of them anyway. This, and what happened when he joined with the others there? The river began to flow in that meeting. As he said, you know, they had a meeting for a while and nothing really happened until the river came into effect. The Spirit began to convict people of sin, began to trouble their hearts, began to awaken them to the reality, the things that were blocking the flowing of this river in their lives. And they began to humble themselves. He told me that there were tears in their eyes. Isn't that right, Isaac? Brokenness. As they realized they were blocking the river from flowing. And as they confessed their sin to it, the river just began to flow into that meeting. And then there were others doing the same thing. This river is constantly there. It's always there. It's accessible to you and me. The river. Jesus spoke about this. We had the reading from John chapter 7. Jesus is at the Feast of Booths, which was a feast of the Israelites to remember their time in the wilderness. And for 7 days, there in Jerusalem or wherever they were to actually go and live in little huts that they made of vegetation. And they were to dwell in them to remember what it was like to live in the wilderness and God providing for them every day in that wilderness. He provided food for them. He provided water from a rock for them in the wilderness. And there was a special ceremony in this Feast of Booths. And at the end of the week, which is described here in John 7, the priests were to go to the Pool of Siloam and gather water and bring it to the altar as a symbol of the water that God provided for them in the wilderness. And Jesus, at that particular moment, stands up and says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. If anyone is thirsty." Friends, you cannot have access to this river unless you're thirsty. There's no way of getting access to the river unless you're thirsty. It's a prerequisite to drink from this river. You have to be thirsty. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, says Jesus. And, you know, what happens to us in all of the circumstances of life, we have troubles, we have difficulties, we have problems, and we seek to satisfy these desires in our lives with all sorts of things in the world. They never can satisfy you. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And if you realize that deep in your heart there's an anguishing thirst for something to fulfill the deep longings of your heart, I can assure you, it's not going to be fulfilled in anything else other than what Jesus says here. He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, come to Jesus. I think Lamb preached last Sunday. Come to me, come to Jesus. You know, on Wednesday night, I felt absolutely blank for this Sunday, completely blank, what I was going to preach on this morning. And I told the Wednesday night prayer meeting, went to pray with them. And I said, I just feel my need so much. And they began to pray. And God just said, there is a river. I thought, oh, where's that? Oh, Psalm 46. That's where you're to go on Sunday. There is a river. And its streams make glad the city of God. And Jesus said, if you are thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You see, this river is looking for hearts to flow out of. This river is wanting you and me to be a channel for him to flow through. But just as Isaac found when he went to Perth, there were blockages, weren't there? The river was dammed up. Judgments, criticisms, sinful behavior. It was blocking the river. If anyone believes in me, as the scriptures have said. Now, Jesus, what does he do for us? What is the main thing Jesus does for us? He saves us from our sins. When is the last time you confessed sin? Be honest, when is the last time you honestly confess sin? If the river isn't flowing, let me tell you, it's probably because of this. We all sin so easily. Critical, we get distracted, we pursue wrong things. If you believe in Jesus as the scriptures have said, he is the one who saves us from our sins, you need to deal with your sins. If you deal with your sins, you will have access to the river. Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. That's what God wants in every one of our lives. He wants rivers of living water to be flowing out of us to the people we meet, when we're doing down the street, when we're doing Bible studies, when we're at home with our husbands and our wives, when there are tensions and difficulties and things that you need to humble yourself and confess sin to each other. He wants a river to flow. I've referred many times to Neville's experience last year and Alex, and the river flowed, hey, didn't it? The river began to flow because sin was addressed. Judgments, criticisms were humbly confessed. And the river flowed because there is a river. And its streams make glad the city of God. I know this in my own home with my wife. We only have to be slightly off course. And the river dams up like that. And we have to humble ourselves. And say, look, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening properly to you. Or, I'm sorry, I didn't respond. Hey, there's two down there doing exactly the same, right? Doing exactly the same. We need to deal with the things that block the river, that hinder the flow. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This is what God wants for every single one of us. And there, no, he doesn't show any favoritism. And it's all the same for every one of us. Do you know, the other thing that I'm very conscious of is you can't really gain the flow. There it is. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But course, this is the Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the flow of the Spirit. But it doesn't come unless you're thirsty. And I don't just mean, you know, I think I need a cool thing from the fridge. Now, how thirsty are you? How thirsty really are you? Are you desperate? Will you get up at 4 a.m? Will you seek God with all your heart? Will you be so passionate you will not let him go until, like Jacob, he blesses you? How thirsty are you? Jesus says there in Revelation, as he speaks to John again, you know, here we have John speaking through his gospel. But in the book of Revelation, Jesus reveals himself to John on the island of Patmos. And he says to him, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. You can't buy this. It's already been paid for, actually, on the cross. I have never met a person who has hungered and thirsted for righteousness who has not been satisfied. Who has hungered and thirsted, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that righteousness is to be established in us. The righteousness of Christ that challenges all the issues of our life, our self-pity, our grumbling, our criticism of others, our judgments, our unwillingness to submit to authorities. Someone who was confessing sin this morning about speeding, not submitting to authorities. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be satisfied because there is a river. You know, when you sense love is not flowing from you, there's something in the way. There's something blocking this love from flowing. There's something, Jesus said, we're to love our wives, we're to love our neighbors, we're to love people who abuse us. We're to love our enemies. There is to be no excuses. The issue is not the enemy. Oh, they might have to deal with something, of course, but the issue is my heart flowing out in love towards this person. Is there something hindering in my heart? And if we hunger and thirst, if we hunger and thirst for this river, Jesus says, come to me. I can remove the sin. I died on the cross to wash you clean. I can cleanse you and purify you. I can do everything that is necessary for you to have access to this river. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the dwelling place of God. God is in the midst of her. Do you know, I read one of my pastor friends here in Clayton sent me a book last week. He said, Michael, I think you should read this. It's about prayer. It's just been written this year. And here's a little quotation from this book. An East Indian evangelist described his first experience at an American prayer meeting. Might be an Australian one, actually. I think pretty well fits. He was visiting a mega church known in India for the pastor's outstanding preaching. He was thrilled when the pastor invited the 3,000 Sunday worshippers to the midweek prayer meeting. The pastor even shared that something was heavy on his heart for prayer. The evangelist couldn't wait. In India, the prayer meeting was the heartbeat of the church, where you stormed the heavens, often far into the night. The designated prayer chapel seated only 500, so he arrived early to get a seat. But at the designated 7 p.m. start time, He was alone. He was alone. At 7:15, puzzled and still alone, he wondered if he had wrong location. So he went outside to check the name. Yes, was the same chapel the pastor mentioned on Sunday. Finally, at 7:30, a few people straggled in, chatting about sports and weather until the leader arrived at 7:45. The leader shared a short devotional with seven attendees, prayed briefly and closed the meeting. The evangelist was stunned. No worship, no crying out to God for help. Crying out to God for help. Are you doing it? Are you thirsty? How thirsty are we? Do we need help? I need help. Let me tell you, every single day I'm desperate for help. No crying out to God for help. What has happened? What has happened? To the thirsty I will give, says Jesus. The springs of the water of life without payment. The evangelist was stunned. No worship, no crying out to God for help. No senior pastor. What was heavy on the pastor's heart? What about prayer for the sick, for the lost? I have a lovely Jewish lady at Brighton. Every time I say, is there anything for prayer? Can you pray for the lost? Do we have a heart for the lost? People going to hell? How can we reach them? No one in this story thought that corporate prayer was important. Not even the senior pastor. He didn't show up. The congregation, only seven came. Or the prayer leader. He was 45 minutes late and only had one brief prayer. Prayer was a mere window dressing. If you doubt something, you don't think it works. That's the issue. If you doubt something, you don't think it works. Oh, but he didn't answer straight away. I went to prayer for the first 15, 20, half an hour. Nothing seemed to happen, Lord. But do you believe what God says? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. The river. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Do you know that river is a spiritual river, and it requires certain responses from us. Ezekiel speaks of this river in chapter 47. It's a river that flows with the life of God. And when you get into this river at first, you just have it lapping around your ankles. It feels very nice, actually, very cool and very, very, very delightful. Then you go a bit deeper into this river and it gets up to your knees and you're still feeling pretty excited about being in this flowing river with all of its speed and action and life. And then you go a bit deeper into this river and it comes up to your chest. And now you're starting to feel a bit awkward. I've waded in rivers fishing for trout and waded and the water gets up to about here. And let me tell you, it's flowing and it's just about to sweep you off your feet and you can feel unstable in that river. But then you go a bit deeper and your feet can't touch the bottom anymore. You're not in control in this river. And if you're a person who likes to be in control of your life, of your circumstances, of how people respond to you, you can never drink from this river deeply. You have to let go. You have to step into the middle of the river and let it carry you along wherever it takes you. My friend Joseph yesterday, He was feeling very unwell in the morning. He's travelled from the UK. He's had thyroid cancer. He's had all sorts of issues, health issues. He was feeling very unwell in the morning, and he was asked to go to this church to preach in the afternoon by his friend, Simon. And he wasn't feeling so sure about this. Anyway, he went along, and he finally got to the church. And as the Spirit of God came upon him in that place, he preached for nearly one and a half hours. He had 25 minutes of questions. He had the 3-hour service of worship, and he came back full of life. You cannot be in control in this river. You have to surrender completely to the one who loves you, who wants to supply all your needs, who wants to overflow you so abundantly that you will be carried along by him. You see, in this river, there are those that sneak closer to the banks, who stay out of the central stream, and they get washed into the swamps, and they become salty, and everything dies. Friends, if that's where you're at, get back into the river. Humble yourself. Deal with that thing that is hindering you walking right in the midst, not walking, standing, floating, being carried along in the midst of the river. Wherever the river goes, every living creature, their swarms will live, and there will be many fish. For this water goes there that the waters of the sea may become fresh. This is supernatural. When fresh water flows into salt water, naturally it becomes salty. But this water causes salt water to become fresh. This is the sort of water that flows to people and they get converted. They get touched. Just like when Isaac went to Perth. Ministers, pastors broken before God because the river is flowing. This is the water that Jesus wants to flow in all of our lives. But it's too deep to stand in. No one can stand on the bottom when carried by this river. We have to let go of being in control. Oh, that is just so the bottom line in all of our lives, being in control. What's the time? I've got something else to do. Have you? Maybe God is wanting to arrest you today. That you would spend the whole day in his presence. That you would be seeking him and being filled with his life and his nourishment and his renewal. Remember in the psalm it says, "Be still. And know that I am God." And God sent into this world his Son, who stood up at the end of that feast of booze and says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Into your classroom, into your practice of feet caring, into your situation of work, wherever you are, this water is to flow. Jesus is longing for this water to flow out of every single one of us. And you can only get access to it if you're thirsty. If you're thirsty. And that means desperateness. It just doesn't mean, you know, topping up for a cool drink out of the fridge. Where the river flows, everything will live. For there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray.